Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Gopijana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Jai Gopijana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Vishva Paramahansa Paviraja Kachari Shata Shata Shishimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Vishnu Paramahansa Paviraja Kachari Shata Shata Shishimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Rinda Ki Jai. Nama Acharya Shri Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Isko Bibiti Founder Acharya Kizimgare Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Prem Sikho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shishi Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Shyam Kundaradha Kundagiri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavandam Ki Jai Mayapudam Ki Jai. Harinam Sankirtan Yagya Ki Jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. All Guru Samrivotis, All Guru Samrivotis, All Guru Samrivotis, All Guru Samrivotis, Shishi Guru and Gaurangam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 17, Text Number 27. Acharyamam Vijaniyan Navamanyeta Karhichit Namartya Buddhaya Pujasuyetam Sarva Deva Mayo Guru.
Acharyan mam vijaniyan. Nava manyeta karhichit. Namartya buddhya suyetam. Sarva deva mayo guru. Acharyan mam vijaniyan. Nava manyeta karhichit. Namartya buddhya suyetam. Sarva deva mayo guru.
Acharyam,
the spiritual master,
mam,
myself,
vijaniyat,
one should know.
Na
avamanyetam.
One should never disrespect.
Karhichit. At any time. Na. Never. Martyabhujam.
With the idea of his being an ordinary man.
Asuyetam.
One should be envious.
Sarvadevam.
Of all demigods.
Mayam.
Representative.
Guru.
The spiritual master.
Translation and purport.
One should know the Acharya as myself and never disrespect him in any way. One should not envy him, thinking him an ordinary man, for he is the representative of all the demigods.
Purport.
This verse appears in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 146. His Divine Grace, Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajikacharya, Ashwata Ashwata Sri Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, has commented on this verse as follows. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11.17.27, which we're reading today, spoken by Lord Shri Krishna when he was questioned by Uddhava regarding the four social and spiritual orders of society. He was specifically instructing how a brahmachari should behave under the care of spiritual master. A spiritual master is not an enjoyer of facilities offered by his disciples. He is like a parent. Without the attentive service of his parents, a child cannot grow to manhood. Similarly, without the care of the spiritual master, one cannot rise to the plane of transcendental service. The spiritual master is also called acharya, or a transcendental professor of spiritual science. Manu Samhita explains the duties of an acharya, describing that the bona fide spiritual master accepts charge of disciples, teaches them the Vedic knowledge with all its intricacies, and gives them their second birth. The ceremony performed to initiate disciple into the study of spiritual science is called Upaniti, or the function that brings one nearer to the spiritual master. One who cannot be brought nearer to a spiritual master cannot have a secret thread, and thus he is indicated to be a Shudra. The secret thread worn on the body of a Brahmana, Kshatriya or Vaishya is a symbol of initiation by the spiritual master. It is worth noting if worn merely to boast a high parentage. It is worth nothing if worn merely to boast of high parentage. The duty of the spiritual master is to initiate a disciple with a secret thread ceremony. And after this samskara or purificatory process, the spiritual master actually begins to teach the disciple about the Vedas. A person born a Shudra is not barred from a such spiritual initiation, provided he is approved by the spiritual master, who is duly authorized to award a disciple the right to be a Brahmana if he finds him perfectly qualified. In the Vayu Purana, an Acharya is defined as one who knows the import of all Vedic literature, explains the purpose of the Vedas, abides by their rules and regulations, and teaches his disciples to act in the same way. Only out of his immense compassion does the personality of Godhead reveal himself as a spiritual master. Therefore, in the dealings of an Acharya, there are no activities but those of transcendental loving service to the Lord. He is the supreme personality of servitor Godhead. It is worthwhile to take a shelter of such a steady devotee who is called Ashraya Vigraha, or the manifestation of or form of the Lord of whom one must take shelter. If one poses himself as an Acharya but does not have an attitude of servitorship to the Lord, he must be considered an offender, and this offensive attitude disqualifies him from being an Acharya. The bona fide spiritual master always engages in unalloyed devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By this test, he is known to be a direct manifestation of the Lord and genuine representative of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Such spiritual master is known as Acharya Dev. Influenced by an envious temperament and dissatisfied because of an attitude of sense gratification, mundaners criticize a real Acharya. In effect, however, a bona fide Acharya is none different from the personality of Godhead, and therefore to envy such an Acharya is to envy the personality of Godhead himself. This will produce an effect subversive to transcendental realization. As mentioned previously, a disciple should always respect the spiritual master as a manifestation of Sri Krishna. But at the same time, one should always remember that the spiritual master is never authorized to imitate the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. False spiritual masters pose themselves as identical with Sri Krishna in every respect to exploit the sentiments of their disciples. But such impersonalists can only mislead their disciples, for their ultimate aim is to become one with the Lord. This is against the principles of the devotional cult. The real Vedic philosophy is Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, which establishes everything to be simultaneously one with and different from the personality of Godhead. Srila Raghunadas Goswami confirms that this is the real position of a bona fide spiritual master and says that one should always think of the spiritual master in terms of his intimate relationship with Mukunda, Sri Krishna. Srila Jiva Goswami in his Bhakti Sandarbha has clearly defined that the pure devotee's observation of the spiritual master and Lord Shiva is one with the personality of Godhead. Exist in terms of their being very dear to the Lord, not identical with him in all respects. Following in the footsteps of Srila Raghunadas Goswami and Srila Jiva Goswami, later acharyas like Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur have confirmed the same truths. In his prayers to the spiritual master, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur confirms that all the revealed scriptures accept the spiritual master to be identical with the personality of Godhead because he is very dear and confidential servant of the Lord. Gaudiya Vaishnavas therefore worship Srila Gurudev, the spiritual master, in the light of his being the servitor of the personality of Godhead. In all the ancient literatures of devotional service and in the more recent songs of Srila Narottam Das Thakur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and other unalloyed Vaishnavas, the spiritual master is always considered to be either one of the confidential associates of Srimati Radharani or manifested representation of Srila Nityananda Prabhu. Acharyan mam vijaniyan nava manyeta karhichit Namatya Buddha Suyeta Sarvadeva Mayoguru. One should know the Acharya as myself and never disrespect him in any way. One should not envy him, thinking him an ordinary man, for he is the representative of all the demigods. Om Jnana Timarandasya Janandala Shalakya Chakshur Monitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. One chikalpatrubya cha kripa sinbeva cha patitanam pavarimbyo vaishnavi namo namaha. So how is everybody doing this cold January morning? I hope you are warmed up and inspired by wonderful story that Gauranga told us, and have enthusiasm to do something for Srila Prabhupada. So today we have a beautiful verse. Basically, we are fortunate to actually have the actual translation and purport directly by Srila Prabhupada in this verse, which was in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we have a beautiful description of the position of the spiritual master. And Srila Prabhupada is basically going to establish and define what the position of Acharya is. So he's saying that in Vayu Purana, an Acharya is one who knows all Vedic literatures, explains the purpose of the Vedas, abides by their rules, and teaches his disciples to act in the same way. So, as Mother Mukhya was reading that amazing story, how Srila Prabhupada was actually taking cold shower in the cold, freezing conditions, just to basically set the example. And in so many ways, Prabhupada acted in similar ways to teach us. It is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita that spiritual master's eternal occupation is to expand the devotional service to the Lord. And how does he do that? By training his disciples in the in the mood of servitorship. So Srila Prabhupada in many ways was acting in that way to teach us, to set the example, and throughout his books, throughout his letters, we find so many wonderful examples where he teaches that. Now, in this particular verse, it says that one should know the Acharya as myself. So basically Krishna is talking to Sri Uddhava, and he's saying, one should know Acharya as myself and never disrespect him. Very important point. So to emphasize the point, I wanted to narrate a few examples. I wanted to narrate a few bad examples and few good examples of how one should actually treat and behave in the presence of one's spiritual master. So a long time ago, there was an assembly of devatas, demigods. And Indra was, of course, presiding, and all the apsaras and gandharvas were dancing and chanting, and all the demigods were present in assembly. Meanwhile, his spiritual master, Brihaspati, happened to visit. And as he walked in, Lord Indra was totally bewildered by his position and opulence, so he neglected to offer respects. And now Indra is not just an ordinary person. He is highly intelligent, highly qualified, has full knowledge of many, many scriptures. But still he was bewildered by his position as the lord of the demigods, devatas. So Brihaspati, realizing the condition of his disciple, he thought that he should teach him a lesson. Now, he could have just cursed him. He was so powerful. But he didn't do that. So he instead just ended up walking away. Immediately, Indra realized his mistake. So it's not like, you know, it took him days. No, he immediately realized, oh my God, what did I do? My spiritual master was present and I was, you know, just sitting on the seat and not even getting up to offer my obeisance. So immediately he started to rectify his behavior. Now, Brihaspati, he could understand the mind of his disciple. Now, to teach him lesson, to teach all the devatas lesson, he actually disappeared. Yeah. He had such potency to become invisible. So Indra was searching everywhere, but he couldn't find him, and he wanted to beg for forgiveness. But Brihaspati, he purposefully made himself invisible. So all the devatas, they decided to, first they didn't know what to do. Now, meanwhile, the demons, they heard of the news and they decided to take the advantage of that. They attacked the demigods and they defeated them. Although previously they were always losing. But at this point, because of that offense to spiritual master, the demigods, they were weak. And that signifies a very important point, that if we neglect to properly respect our spiritual master, all our wealth, all our spiritual intelligence will be gone. And one has no potency to cope with the material energy, what to speak about developing higher realizations and love for Krishna. So, being defeated by the demons, the demigods went to Lord Brahma and they were in desperate condition. So, the story goes on. Lord Brahma was chastising them as well. They ended up appointing Vishwarup for their priest, and eventually they got their wealth and position back. But the point being, it is very, very risky to misunderstand and especially to disrespect spiritual master. So, on the other hand, there is another example, which is very, very beautiful story. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling in South India, he was, at one point, he stayed at the home of Venkatabhat during Chaturmasya. And every day he would visit the temple of Sri Ranganath. So, one day he noticed one very humble Brahmana. He would come there daily and he would be reading Bhagavad Gita. Now, all the people were kind of making fun of this Brahmana because his pronunciation was not perfect, he was not very learned, and excuse me. So they were kind of making fun of him. One day, Lord Chaitanya, as he was walking, he noticed that Brahmana, as he was reading Gita, the tears were coming down his eyes. And he approached him and he said, "My dear Brahmana, I see you faithfully are reading Bhagavad Gita every day and you are exhibiting symptoms of pure love for Krishna. Please tell me which particular section of Gita is inspiring your heart to such deep emotions." And that Brahmana, he understood this personality is not just ordinary village person. He understood the sincerity of Mahaprabhu. So he immediately offered his respects and he said, "My dear Prabhu, I'm actually illiterate. I cannot read, but my spiritual master has ordered me to read Bhagavad Gita every day. And I try, but I'm not a learned scholar. I don't understand anything. But just by seeing the picture of Krishna and Arjuna on the chariot, just by seeing the Lord taking that position to serve his devotee, to drive the chariot, my heart melts and I can't stop but cry." So Mahaprabhu just embraced him and said, "You are the best of the Brahmanas. You understand the real essence of the Gita." So that is a wonderful example how faith in the spiritual master is so, so powerful that if one abides by the instructions of the Guru, one can really achieve the full understanding of the Vedic scriptures, even though one materially may not be necessarily super qualified. So, in the purport, Prabhupada talks about Upaniti ceremony. And he said that it is the function that brings one nearer to the spiritual master through that process of initiation. Now we can think, like, what does that really mean? Like bringing one closer to the spiritual master. Because as we all know, our spiritual masters, they most of the time they travel, they're not physically present. And in many cases, our spiritual master may not be even present on the planet anymore. So what does it mean to bring actually one closer to the spiritual master? So it actually means having deep loving relationship, the relationship of trust, where the guru actually can trust disciple, that disciple will do the right thing, that disciple will follow his instructions. So for many of us, if spiritual master is not present, we still have to remember that his presence is always with us if we follow his instructions. So for the disciple, the attitude of the disciple is, my guru is always with me, no matter what, where I am, but by simply following the instructions and serving the mission of my spiritual master, my Gurudev is with me. So I wanted to also mention a few more examples similar, one good and one bad. I think it's important to kind of reflect on these examples, because we actually learn better by analyzing different dealings that happened in the past. So one time there was a situation where Shrutikirti Prabhu was actually describing his book. There was a devotee that was initiated by Prabhupada. He was sannyasi back in 1970. And unfortunately, he left. And he came back about 5 years later. I think his name was Devananda Swami, something like that. So one day he came and he wanted to have a darshan of Srila Prabhupada. And they allowed him to visit Prabhupada. And in the room, there were just a few devotees, Shrutikirti Prabhu and Brahmananda Prabhu, I believe. And that devotee, he came in. First of all, he didn't offer obeisance to Prabhupada. He just came in and he started rumbling, talking nonsense. And first, Srila Prabhupada was very tolerant. He was listening and listening, and that devotee, he was just talking nonsense. And it's described that he had a long beard, long hair, was totally unkempt. And at one point, Prabhupada said, "Yes," and he pointed to Brahmananda. And he said, "He can stay, but you know, you have to shave, you have to, you know, basically, you know, get yourself back to normal." But that devotee, he kind of in an arrogant way, he said, "No, no, that's not why I came back." And everybody was kind of taken back. And then he kept, you know, rumbling and talking nonsense. And at one point, Srila Prabhupada, he just kind of, you know, that was it. And he screamed and he said, "Get out!" And Brahmananda Prabhu, he actually pushed him out and had to take him out. So that is an example that is very sad, unfortunately, that one had opportunity, and even despite all the mistakes, spiritual master was willing to forgive, but still one was so, so bewildered by the illusory energy that... Haribol. So that missed that opportunity. As we know, in one of the verses, it says, Brahmanda Brahmiti Kon Bhagavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasad, Paya Bhakti Lata Beach. After wandering through so many universes, after so many lifetimes, one gets that rare opportunity to meet the spiritual master. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, it is worthwhile to take a shelter of such personality. What does it mean, worthwhile? You know, if you have some amazing opportunity, you know, let's say if you invest $10 to gain million, you know, I'm wise share, so I'm thinking in terms of money. So you would not never miss that opportunity. So similarly, if you meet such personality, pure devotee of the Lord, one should never gamble such opportunity. One should never miss such great chance to serve the Lord. So I wanted to finish the class. I know we have 2 minutes. So with one funny story, but at the same time signifies how one can be really humble and at the same time gain the mercy of the Lord. So one time there was a few Brijabasis, and they were kind of surrounding a little pond. It was a man-made pond, and there were some fish swimming in the pond. So, and the plan was to drain the pond so they can clean it. But there were fish inside, so they had to do something with them. So there was a big commotion, all the villagers came, and Sachinandana Maharaj happened to be there. So he also went to see what's going on. And all the Vrijabhasis were screaming, and one of them was in the pond trying to catch the fish. And they were goldfish. So Maharaj was wondering, what's happening? So as they would catch each fish, they would put in a little bucket. And after catching maybe 4 or 5, that leader of the Vrijabhasis, he ordered one of the villagers, and he took the bucket on a motorcycle and he drove it to the Radhakund just to save the fish. So everybody kind of started walking away, but Maharaj noticed there was one little fish that was still in the pond. And that fish was not golden fish, it was black fish. You know, just some small tiny fish. It was hiding underneath some leaves in the water. So Maharaj pointed to that Brijabasi, "Hey, there's still one more." And Brijabasi, he looked and he said, "Oh, yeah." So he started chasing that last one. And he was chasing it hard, and the fish was kind of fighting and, like, you know, trying to escape. And finally, after like maybe half hour, he finally managed to catch it. And then he ordered another village man to take it to the Radhakund. So later on, Maharaj reflects and he says, just see how powerful the mercy of Srimati Radharani in the holy dam, that even that insignificant fish, you know, it wasn't even special fish, wasn't golden fish, just a, you know, small fish. Even that little fish was saved and brought to the Radhakund. Otherwise, it would die. You know, once they emptied the water, the sun would totally dry everything and the fish would be finished. So as he was thinking like that, and he was thanking to the Vrijabhasi for their very kind and merciful attitude, one of the Vrijabhasis made comment, and he was kind of smiling, and he said, "Family member." "Family member. What does that mean?" It means if we stay in the family of devotees, that even if we are, you know, just an insignificant person, by the mercy of the Guru, Vaishnavas, there is an all great fortune awaiting for us. So all we have to do is stay in the family, just like that fish. So I've learned here. If anybody would like to make a comment or question or critics, please do so. If not, oh yes, bro.
So it stated that one should know that acharyas myself are never disrespecting in any way. What I was thinking, the Lord within the heart act as guru, right? Chaitya guru.
Yes.
And then externally, Lord Balaram is like the original spiritual master, and his role is to take people back to Krishna. See? So whoever represents that chain of thought, I mean the guru, you know, then the Lord says he's as good as himself. So I was, that came to mind when I read this, really. I missed some of the class. And one other point I want to make. We were discussing Varnashram the other day, and we were talking about like duties and stuff like that. But, you know, what we should understand is that a Vaishnava is actually above the Varnashram system. You know, and whatever duty he may perform, he should not be looked down upon. A Vaishnava is special. Any duty, you know, whatever duty he performs, really, but because he surrendered solely to the Lord, his position is completely different from those that follow the, you know, the Varnashram system. It's 2 points I want to make.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Mother Raghavatmika.
Since we're still on the topic of the Brahmachari Ashram, I thought of this yesterday after class. When my son was in the Gurukul in Mayapur, I came across the book by Dhanavir Goswami called Brain Gain. It's about celibacy. And after reading it, I came up with an acronym to recall the benefits of celibacy. So I told that to my son and his friends. And the acronym is MIND, M-I-N-D, Mindful Celibacy. MIND, M stands for memory. It gives one sharp memory. And I, intelligence, strong intelligence. N, nourishment. When the semen is retained within the body and goes upward, then the whole body is nourished. One becomes so healthy and strong. And D, determination, as we heard of in the example of Gandhi, who got great determination by his vow of celibacy. Mind, M-I-N-D.
Yes, yes. Thank you for sharing that. Absolutely. Celibacy is so important, even from the Ayurvedic point of view. There is many valuable reasons for celibacy, for the sake of health. And as we know, many great intellectuals in the past were also very strict celibates, like Nikola Tesla, I heard, was one of them. And it basically enables one to be very sharp, have a capacity to understand much, much deeper than people who are indulging in sense gratification. Thank you so much. Yes, Prabhu.
I have a question. How one disciple become envy to guru, can you explain? I have some idea, but I want to hear from you also.
It's a good question. The envy comes when the disciple starts thinking that the assets that he has are out of his own qualifications. So when one starts thinking that the knowledge I have, the abilities I have are my own possessions, then one loses the proper sight and understanding that actually anything good that I do is the mercy of my Gurudev. Anything bad I do is my own stupidity. That's kind of my own understanding, but please elaborate if you wish more.
No, that's nice, very nice. I just wanted to understand from... Also, it should be repeated because it's practically we use this. Prabhupada explained in Madhavendapuri's case that where good disciple and bad disciple, Ramachandra Puri, he thought he knew more than his guru, and that was disrespecting him. This verse is like applicable. He was disrespecting him. He was instructing him, and he misunderstood guru's position. He thought, I know better. So he told him, think of Brahman. What are you doing? Why are you crying? And Srila Prabhupada, this is a bad example of a
disobedience. And then other case is Ishwarpuri, same time. Prabhupada glorify his position that how he used to clean the stool, and because Madhavendra Puri was so sick that he could not move. But he was so one-pointed serving, he never thought that he is better than his guru. He always thought that every opportunity is coming. He became sick, Krishna made him sick just for me to serve him. Otherwise there is no opportunity I have to serve. How am I going to serve? Madhavendra Puri always walking alone. So he's seeing his guru became sick out of Krishna's mercy, that opportunity. And at that point, Madhavendra Puri was so enlivened, he embraced Ishwarpuri. And he prayed that, may Lord give you love of Godhead. And Ishwarpuri experienced the trembling and ecstasy, immediately transferred from the heart of Madhavendra Puri to Ishwarpuri, which transferred to Lord Chaitanya. So it was very significant how, but I always thought, like, how do you disrespect, how do you become envy to Guru? It's like, generally we don't think how to become envy to Prabhupada. How do you become envy to your Guru? And it's like very not easy to grasp it, but very nicely you said. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, Dharmaraj Prabhu.
Earlier in your class you were talking about grasping the opportunity to take shelter of the spiritual master. On the flip side of that is that sometimes we're not intelligent enough to understand that the opportunity is there. So that's how do we develop that opportunity to take the opportunity whenever it arises. I'm just thinking out loud that maybe there's some fine intelligence that has to be there to understand. And okay, here's an opportunity, you know, here's a way of, I should, even if I don't understand, in many cases, at least in my own case, when I analyze with my relationship with my spiritual master, I try to conclude that I don't understand his activities, but, you know, if I just accept them, that's a good qualification. So I wonder if there's anything that you can share that what makes us qualified to recognize that opportunity.
One thing comes to my mind when you were just speaking. I also read another story where Śrī Kīrti Prabhu is talking. He was describing traveling with Śrīla Prabhupāda, and he was sharing how one time they were traveling, I believe, to L.A., maybe 1975, and he was always busy arranging everything for Prabhupada. And as they were coming closer to the LA, Prabhupada had a very, very interesting kind of like a routine. He would get ready. As you know, when you coming to the point of landing, they say you have to put the seatbelt and so on. But Prabhupada would get up and he would go to the bathroom to put a tilak. And the flight attendants, they would try to stop him and, you know, to have him take a seat. But Prabhupada would just walk by and totally ignored. Very special. Who can stand such personality? So he would walk and, you know, because he wanted to make a very beautiful impression on disciples when he arrives. So he would put the garland back, and if he had several garlands, he would share with other devotees. So everybody looked really pretty, and pakatilak and everything looking nice. So when they landed, they were walking in the waiting hall, and the kirtan was roaring. So many, like several hundred devotees were chanting, and as they walked in, like all devotees started crying by seeing Prabhupada. But Śrī Kīrti, he was totally, you know, focused on details, making sure, you know, Prabhupada is safe, that, you know, that luggage is together, you know. So he was totally absorbed in the service. So later on, when they arrived to the temple, Shatakirti was, excuse me, still battery my cough. So Shatakirti was massaging Srila Prabhupada, and something was on his mind, and he wanted to ask Prabhupada, but he said he couldn't talk to him face to face, so he kind of took the chance while Prabhupada was lying down. And he said, Srila Prabhupada, all your devotees have so much love for you. They cry when they see you, and there's so much loving sentiment for you. But I don't have that. I don't cry. I don't understand why. And so he was lamenting like that. And Prabhupada didn't say anything. But later on in the day, he called Shatakirti in his room, and he asked him, so, do you like serving me? And Shatakirti said, yeah, of course. He said, that's all that's matter. That's all that's important. He said, anybody else can jump up and down, do this and do that, but service is really what matters. So the point I'm trying to make is, sometimes we may not really fully understand all opportunities we have, but just by continuing service, just by steadily doing our seva, and remembering whatever I do is for my spiritual master, then the spiritual master give the intelligence, as Gita says, that dhammi buddhi yoga. Basically, that spiritual intelligence will come, and we will see more opportunities. But the initially, we, like you said, we may not see every chance to capture that nectar. But as we keep going, the opportunities will present itself more and more. Maybe Prabhu, Rangavindra Prabhu would like to add more to this.
I remember that story actually he mentioned here also in this same temple, here, I don't know, 5-6 years back. He said, Prabhupada said, you said very nicely, he said, Prabhupada said, that means you have love. You want to serve means you have love also for me. So those devotees also has love, but he also has love. But he could not see. He thought love means you cry.
Yes.
That's also true. If somebody loves someone, cries out of affection. So both are correct.
Thank you. Thank you so much, everybody. I think we will stop here. Karantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.